Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoyed this message from our guest speaker.
Well, good morning. A couple weeks ago, I just really feel to share this before I get into the message. A couple weeks ago, I was in Texas, and they had that cold front come in. And when I got down there, I got down to far Texas, which is almost as far south as you can go. So the average temperature is like 20 degrees this time of year. So on the way in, I was running through freezing rain and everything. When I got there, the temperature overnight dropped to minus 10 Celsius. So first thing I did was fuel up my truck because I knew it was going to get, you know, trucks aren't going to be able to get in. So I fueled up my truck and I went and parked. And it took me a couple days to get unloaded and all this stuff. And so the truck stops all froze up. There was no water, no restrooms, no showers, no fuel, no nothing. So finally, I got unloaded, and I got reloaded, and I started headed north, and I got north of Houston, and it was the worst I've ever seen in 25 years of trucking. There was this much ice on the roads, and there's big potholes in it, and we're driving along. It took me 2 days to get out of Texas, and so I get up to Houston, and I mean, I had a shower Sunday morning, and I'm the type, every day I got to get up and have a shower. I might look like a truck driver, I don't want to smell like one, so I make sure every morning when I get up, I go in and have a shower. So I got up Monday morning, everything's froze. Tuesday morning, everything's froze. Wednesday, I get up north of Houston, and I run in. I'm thinking, man, there should be something this far north. I should be able to. And the whole place was shut down. So I got in the truck, and I went to sleep. I was ticked. I'm like, God, I just want to have a shower. So I got up in the morning, and I looked. I got an app on my phone for the Flying J, and I looked, and it said 3 showers available. So I'm grabbing stuff, I'm flying across the parking lot, and I go in and I have my shower, and I get out in the truck. And you know, and God started speaking to me. You know, he says, here you were in the middle of a storm. It's dark time, you know, it's just everything. But when I went to bed through the night, those men were working to get everything going. And God said to me, he says, you know what, we might be in a dark place right now. We might be going through a storm, but we can't see what he's doing in the darkness. And church, I believe that we're coming into the dawn. And we're going to see God move stronger and more than ever before. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that God is getting ready to break out. And I really believe that by the middle of summer, we're going to see more people saved, more people healed, more people set free than we have in a long time. And I really believe that if we claim that and we hold on to that, you know what? Because the world is watching the church. And if we can't get along, what hope do they have? But when this all starts, I mean, we're going to have to be in unity because not one person can do it all. Judy and Jill can't do it all downtown. They're going to need help. Pastor Jay and Pastor Gary and Pastor Rod are not going to be able to do it all here. They're going to need help. So we need to be in unity and stop worried about what. No, I promised I wouldn't go there. I'm not going to go there. But we need to just be in unity and have our hearts be in unity and just pray for the people that are with us because it's so easy. You know, and I see it more in the church than anything. Somebody says something bad about somebody and 5 people want to jump on board. But instead saying, you know what, you're talking about my brother. You're talking about my sister. You know what, me and my brother might not get along all the time, but you mess with them, you got us all to deal with. And it should be the same way in the kingdom. Amen? All right, so was that all right? I'm not being bad yet. not yet. I won't say yet. Wait. So this morning, actually, I want to speak a little bit about identity and what God has been showing me lately. And you know, the more I read this word, since I got sick and while I was in the hospital, I can't even read it without weeping because this means so much to me. It's so alive. You know, and God reminded me a while ago when Mary was pregnant with Jesus and she went to visit Elizabeth, the Bible says that when Elizabeth heard her greeting, John the Baptist leaped in her womb. And God says because the Bible says in John 1 and that the Word became flesh. And it also says that in the beginning was the Word. The Word is Jesus. Mary was actually carrying the living Word of God when she walked in there. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting, John the Baptist leaped in her womb because Elizabeth was carrying a promise, but Mary was carrying what was going to make that promise come true. Amen. So no matter what situation we walk into, and we got the word, we carry the word in us, Because the minute you got saved, you got Holy Spirit with you. You might not know the scriptures, you might not know what they say, but all you got to remember is this one. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And no matter what you walk into, that'll cover it. Amen? So I'm going to try and get through this without crying or all that stuff, but I can't make any promises. Especially if Pastor Claude starts crying, then it's all over for me. But you know, I just love the word, and God brought me to this morning. This has been going on in my spirit for weeks in the truck, and you know, it's awesome. You get to spend a lot of time in worship. And last Sunday, I was coming out of Texarkana, headed towards Dallas, and Pastor Rod, you got up to close worship, and Holy Spirit just filled up the truck. Man, I'm doing 75 miles an hour trying to keep it together, and then Pastor Gary starts preaching, and one of the best messages I've heard in a long time. And I mean, I couldn't stand on my seat. I wanted to, but it was amazing. It was unbelievable. And, you know, and I just really want to encourage you. I've listened to that message a couple times this week again. If you've only listened to it once, listen to it again. Because I really believe that church, we need to grasp that message that she preached last week. That was powerful. So here we go. In Mark 5:25, I'm going to read the whole story, and then it says, "And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, who had suffered much under many physicians, had spent all she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up from behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, 'If I even touch his garment, I will be made well.' And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned the crowd and said, 'Who touched my garments?' His disciples said to him, 'You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, "Who touched me?"' He looked around to see who had done it, but the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him, told him the whole truth, and he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease.'" And I've been really just praying into that, and you know, I was reading into it last night, and the reason she came with fear and trembling, because in society at that time, she was unclean. She wasn't really allowed to do anything. She couldn't even go to the market to buy something because she touched the money, and if somebody else touched it, they would be considered unclean. She couldn't do nothing. So she was a social, pretty much, you know, treated like a leper. So her even being there was against the law. So Jesus turned around and he said, "Who touched me?" So she had to come over first, overcome the fear of being caught. And then she had to overcome the anxiety of being noticed there and knowing who she was. So Jesus, she came back and she told him what happened. And Jesus, you know, it's kind of funny that he pretty much repeated everything she knew. He said, "You're already healed." She already knew she was healed. He said, "You're set free, go in peace." She already had peace because she knew she was healed. But for those 12 years in that society, she was known as a woman with the issue of blood. She was known as an unclean woman. She was known to everybody that she shouldn't be around. But he turned around and publicly declared her healed, changed that part, and then he looked at her and he said, "Daughter." It's the only time in scripture Jesus addressed a woman as daughter. He completely changed her identity in that second. And I really believe that if we get to a place where we know who we are in Christ, because the Bible says I'm joint heirs with Christ. So everything that Jesus have and everything that Jesus can do, I can do. And greater according to him. So when we get the revelation of who we are in Christ, there's nothing that can stop us. Nothing can separate us from God. But you know what, you know why she got healed? I'll give you a second to think about it. You know why she got healed, Pastor Jay? It's a trick question. I want you to answer it. Not going to answer it. You got a mask on. She had a thought. It first started with a thought. She had a thought that if I can be healed, if I could touch his garment, I will be healed. Everything that we believe about ourselves starts with a thought. And if it's all how we build on. The Bible says, cast down all imaginations. But it says, capture every thought. So either you capture it and keep it because it's a good thought, or you capture it and throw it out because it's a bad one. But everything starts with a thought. And no matter what we're doing, where we are, who we are, what we believe about ourselves, first we have to believe that we're meant for something. You know, everything that I've been through, 10 years in drug addiction and different things, I mean, I could easily have been disqualified. But right there, almost 13 years ago, God said, no, you're my son. And the minute that I prayed that prayer, he returned me to sonship right there. I didn't have to work for it. I didn't have to beg for it. All I had to do was, you know what, just, I didn't even have to ask for it. I just had to receive it. It's already given. And that's, you know, that's the message that we need to be preaching now. The good news message, not the doom and gloom that, you know, you could tell anybody you're going to hell. My dad, I remember my dad saying when I was, for years, you should never tell somebody you're going to hell without tears in your eyes. That's our mission, to bring the good news message to people so that they can have the identity in Christ that we have. But first, we need to believe it and realize what we have before we can, you know, we are God's son. I was watching a show, God reminded me of it yesterday. I was telling Eric about it. I was watching this show, NCIS, one of those shows. I love those kinds of shows. And there's this one officer in there. She's actually a Mossad, Israeli Assad officer. She's an assassin, but for the government. But she's Israeli. And I remember this one scene that these guys had her at gunpoint. And she looked at him. She said, where's the director? She was talking about the director, Mossad. And he says, the director's got no time for you. He doesn't even... I'm on a mission. He didn't know that the director, Mossad, was her dad. She started yelling, Abba! Abba! And he walked out around the corner. He says, what is it, my daughter? And he's just seeing these two guys' faces. But you know what? That's all we have to do, is call out to our Heavenly Father. Amen? That wasn't even part of my notes. That was a freebie. Man, I don't know if you're feeling what I'm feeling this morning, but there's such a strong presence up here. It's just, man, I'm trying to get through this, but whew, I just want to sit and soak right now, but you guys would all look at me weird, so I won't do it, but... You know, I got to say this though, Jacob, I've seen such much growth in you over the past couple of years. And you wrote me a letter a while ago and you said, I wish I had something profound to say. But you know what? I watch your life and your life, you're living it out, and it's profound. So I just want to encourage you in that. I seen God showed me this week, you in a village, like, I don't know, like, you know, in a third country or whatever, working with kids. And God just said that I really believe that he's put that in your heart, that you want to go to the mission field. And God has said that he's put in you, you can see things being built. You can almost like see the design of it in the back plate part of it. But God says that he's going to send you into places and you're going to build ministries. You're going to build orphanage. I see you actually building an orphanage, designing an orphanage to be built. So I just really want to, you just take that to prayer and ask God what it's, but I just see that in you. I see such wisdom on you as a young man. And I just want to honor you today as that. I mean, we are so, as a church, we can say we're proud of you and we get behind you and we just can't wait to see what God's going to do in the future. Amen. So let's try this again. I have a friend here this morning, Savano, and his beautiful wife, Mary. And he's an OPP officer. And Zach is here, too. Let's just thank Zach and Savano for the years of service and what they do. Savano's got 5 motorcycles. So I'm just want my wife to get around Mary and, you know. Anyways, let's just, I'm being good. I'm focused. A to D to D to D D. Man, oh man, oh man. And We'll go to Mark 10. Let's see if we can bring this back. And the Bible says, and they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with disciples and a great crowd. So he went through Jericho and nothing happened. So the Lord spoke to me this morning, and I was reading this, and he said, you know, Jesus can be somewhere and nothing happen if you're not pulling on it, if you're not believing for it, because Jesus is always there. But if you're not accessing what you can have, I mean, you can go around sick and depressed and stay there. So a blind beggar, the son of Tim, was sitting on the roadside, and when he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many people rebuked him, telling him to be silent, but he cried out all the more. Isn't that, you know, amazing that when you were going through something and, you know, we're believing for it. I remember when I got my neck after the surgery, they told me I'd be at least 5 months before it was healed up and I could get back to work. I said, I ain't staying home for 5 months. For one thing, my wife will kill me. And it's just, you know, I just can't stay home for 5 months. And I said, I'm going to work in January. He says, no way. It's not possible. I said, you watch and see. But there's always going to be somebody that's going to try and squash your faith, right? So they cried and told him to be quiet. And Jesus stopped and said, call him. And they called the blind man saying, take heart, get up. He is calling you. And then it's so funny how they can, you know, once people see the miracles happen, and then they jump right on board. They didn't. Am I right, Pastor Rod? I'm like, oh man, this must be God. Well, it was God when I had a huge hole in my neck too. I just had to wait for it to manifest and happen. 1 week, the surgeon came in and he took the bandage off and he went, whoa, it's already half healed. In 1 week, it was already half healed. And then it was amazing what God did through that. But you know, I got to share this part too. The surgeon come in and he said, a week later, we're going to put a wound back on you. I said, okay. So I said, what's that? He said, well, they fill it with sponge, and then they put this thing over it, and it's got a hose on it with like a little vacuum cleaner hooked to it. So it's actually pulling all the blood and the nutrients into your wound. I said, okay. And he said, he said, the healing is in the blood. And I said, okay. And I said, I already knew that, but I'm glad you know that. But it was just amazing how with that thing on there, I know it was God that for it to heal that fast. One of the nurses told me here in Windsor when she's seen it, and she says, what did it look like when it first happened? And I showed her a picture and she went, and it's already like this? I said, yeah. She said, this is astounding. And I said, well, I said, you know, I said, God is awesome. She said, yeah, but the wound vac really does a lot of work, help. I said, yeah, the wound vac helped Jesus. Let's put it that way. And Jesus stopped and said to him, okay, and throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. That cloak was a coat that was given to him by the government to mark him as a blind man. So that when people walked by and he was asking for money, they would know that this guy is legitimately blind and they would give him money. But before Jesus even done anything, he threw it away. In that moment, as far as he was concerned, his identity was changed. And Jesus looked at him and he said, what do you want me to do for you? At that moment, he could have asked for anything. I heard one preacher say he was handed a blank check from heaven. He said, what do you want me to do for you? He said, I want to see. And Jesus said, it's done. It's that easy. And you know, I really believe last Sunday morning when I was watching online, I really believe that there was that kind of anointing was here last Sunday morning. I really believe that. And it was pretty strong this morning too. But you know, it's so important that when we get in that place, I mean, and you know what? You don't have to be in church for it to happen. I worship so much in the truck. And I mean, God shows up and it's just amazing. We can have that one-on-one relationship with Jesus at any time, any place, anywhere. Because of what he did on the cross, and Holy Spirit came, and now he abides with us. He abides in us. And we can have that at any time. And I mean, and all we got to do is ask. The Bible says, ask and receive that your joy may be full. So all we got to do is ask for what we need and what we want. He says he'll give us the desires of our hearts, as long as it lines up with the word. I mean, I'm not promising you boats and coats and airplanes, but motorcycles are a different level, Pastor Gary. Those are holy. Those are not to be touched. Let's just leave that alone. See, you got me off topic again, man. Oh man, yeah, squirrel. You know, it's that easy. But oh boy, where was I? Oh, I was talking about how good God is. That's right. And then you mentioned motorcycles, and he got that much better. That was just the way it happened. It was awesome. You know, it's you go through the whole Bible. I just love watching it, how, you know, God would take somebody who was, you know, down and out, or even, you know, even the disciples. You look at who he chose. I mean, one was sworn to kill the other ones. One was a tax collector. Three were fishermen. And I was raised by a fisherman, so I know how rough and tough they are. You know, it's just amazing how God chooses, you know, the least of these. And then, I mean, and I remember Pastor Johnny said to me one time, he says, "Now, Dorman, don't get excited about God using you, because he can make a donkey do it." I looked at him, I said, "Pastor Johnny, I don't know how to take that." He said, "Take it however you want." And he walked away. I said, "I love you, Pastor Johnny." He said, "I love you too." And he done that big smile, you know. And but, you know, it's just amazing how God has taken all of us from where we were to where we are. You know, it's like, you know, I see some people and I'm thinking, you know, like, especially downtown, you know, see people down there, what God's brought them out of, and what they're still sitting in, and you know, it's like they can't see behind them anymore, you know, and they keep going back to it. And that was one of the biggest fears that I had when I got delivered from drugs, was going back to it. But Pastor Danny Tamburo seen that on me, and he prayed it off, and he said, "Dorman, I see it on you. You're afraid you're going to go back and let everybody down." I said, "Yeah, I am." He said, "Well, we can get rid of that right now." But, you know, when God changes our identity, you know, since I come out of this, and you know, I was so close to dying, I told God, I said, "I am going to believe stronger than I ever believed before. I'm not going to be afraid or ashamed to share the message. I'm, you know, no matter where I'm at, I want to be a living example of who Christ is in me." And, you know, it's been amazing. I've been in places where, you know, just even little things, not even sharing the gospel, just changing somebody's day. Like, I was in Tim Hortons one time, and I don't know why God does this to me. It freaks me out sometimes, but I'm sitting there, and this young lady come to serve me, and you could just see the heaviness on her. So God told me, "Tell her she got beautiful eyes." I'm like, not doing it. And he said, "Yes, you are." So I'm not doing it. So I'm there in the lineup arguing, and she just kept coming back and forth. I'm like, "Oh my goodness." So finally I says, "You know," I said, I just want to tell you, "you got really pretty eyes." And I'm thinking this could go either way. And she looked at me, and she teared up, and she says, "I really needed that today." I said, "Well, I just felt like I should tell you, you know, I just kind of took the credit for it." But you know, it's just being Christ-like. Just being loving, just being, you know, there's times where I could really, my temper used to be really bad. I had a fuse about that long, and it was always smoldering, but Pastor Judy and Pastor Marilyn beat that out of me, and week after week of counseling, but you know, it's, you know, and saying that, don't ever be afraid to to ask somebody for help, no matter who you are or where you've been. You know, it took a lot for me to go in that time and say, Pastor Judy, I just really need some help with my anger. You know, here I was an ordained minister and this and that. But you know what? Doesn't matter what you are, who you are. We all people. We all have issues. I seen on Facebook a while ago, it says, we're allowed to have five people together with no issues. And then somebody put underneath it, I don't know five people without issues. Oh, Lord, help us all. All right, let's stand up. And I just feel to pray this over you this morning. May God bless you. May God keep you. May his face shine upon you. And even this week as you go out, the people that you work with, the people that you hang out with that don't know Jesus, they will see Christ in you. And they'll ask that question, what is different about you? And church, seize the moment. Take the moment, take the opportunity. So Father, I just bless everybody this morning. I just pray that Father's blessing on everybody that's here and everybody that's watching. And Father, we thank you for being you. Holy Spirit, we thank you for being with us. And Jesus, we thank you for becoming everything that we were so that we could become everything that you are. Father, we thank you for this and we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.